We're talking about heating problems that crop up in our frigid winters as part of our home improvement series. It's time to ask the HVAC service manager on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. And let's face it, when the weather is freezing cold like today, or when it's sweltering in August, HVAC systems tend to fail or not work like they should, and that means a lot more service calls. Did you get your furnace serviced recently? What did they say? Are you concerned about carbon monoxide leaks developing in your old furnace? Did you recently install a smart thermostat through Wisconsin's Focus on Energy program? What are you noticing? Join in on the hour, 800-642-1234. Alex Steinberger is service manager for Midwest Heating and Cooling based in Maguanago, specializing in HVAC for homes and businesses. Alex, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you for having me again.
Good morning. Let's start with safety first, because temps have been dipping below zero in the northern part of our state. We're seeing some very cold days ahead. If your furnace stops working, give us some pointers and some do's and don'ts.
Yes. Freezing cold, -4 down here a few nights here in a row. So what we're looking at is when your furnace turns off, is you want to look at, one, obviously your thermostat, make sure it's not blinking any kind of battery signal or lights or anything like that. Another simple thing you can do is check your furnace filter just to make sure it's not dirty or plugged or anything like that. And those two things alone will stop an after-hours call or something like that.
So that furnace filter, if it is clogged, of course, putting a new one in, but what else might be going on if a furnace, gets overtaxed in these very cold days?
Obviously, if you don't have maintenance or anything done that way, the motors could be working very hard. There's some specific parts inside the furnace that could be obviously dealing with old age and things like that, and could have some corrosive stuff on there. And if you don't get that taken care of, obviously you'll have some part failures. So
furnace maintenance, you can clear away that grime, maybe time to replace some broken parts. When do you tell your clients that it's time to replace the furnace? What is that turning point like?
So we always leave it up to the customer. We never decide when somebody's time to go is. But if we had to decide an age, we typically say anywhere between 10 to 15 years old, typically. But if you want to keep a 20, 25-year-old furnace running, we're here to help you, and we'd love to help you do that.
So the air in our home, at least, feels really dry. Skin is rough, and I know it's winter, and my heels of my bare feet have like this Velcro effect on our carpet. How would you suggest we go about humidifying?
Well, obviously being in the HVAC world, we recommend a whole house humidifier is what we recommend. And we can actually put that on your HVAC system in your house. And typically what people do is they buy the little ones from the mom and pop shops and things like that, where they're singular humidifiers for each individual room. What a lot of people don't know is we have humidifiers that will supply the whole house with humidity, so that way you can do the whole house instead of just one individual room.
And so these whole house humidifiers, they attach to your existing furnace. Are there compatibility issues? Like, can your furnace be an old furnace and you could still add one of these attachments?
Yeah, most definitely. You can have the oldest furnace, or you could have the newest furnace. And as long as you have some kind of airflow, we can attach it to the ductwork, and we can definitely humidify that house so you don't have any dry skin or anything like that, or make sure you know.
Okay, so airflow. What about bypass humidifiers versus these flow-through units? And I think one has no fan, if I understand this right. The other has a fan. What do you see there?
So that's a great question. They're both great. If you had to choose between having one or not, I would definitely choose at least having one over not having any. But the bypass uses the furnace fan, so the furnace blower, as the fan through that humidifier, which is okay. It's just a little less efficient. So it'll still work. It'll still do what you need. It just won't give you as much humidity and bigger homes and things like that. But if you're really looking for kind of, I guess, bang for your buck and things like that, the humidifier that has a standalone fan works with your blower motor, so it helps blow the humidity inside the ductwork to help give you more humidity instead of just using what it can.
Can you really feel that difference with these whole house humidifiers? Will you be able to tell pretty quickly?
Well, there's two big tells. For instance, even in my home, I have hardwood floors, and I forgot to turn my humidifier on this year. And I walked up the steps, and I saw like a little, I saw the wood separating a little bit, and I was like, "What the heck is this about?" And I went and I turned on the humidifier, and I was like, waited about a week or so, and I was like, okay, that finally sealed itself back up, and we're good to go on that. But once it starts to get cold, you really start to deal with dry skin, cracking, obviously wood floors start kind of opening up and things like that. And you really want to make sure that your house is somewhere around, you want to shoot for about 35% somewhere in the winter of humidity. And obviously, if you don't have your humidifier, it's going to be really hard to achieve that.
We're talking with Alex Steinberger, who is a heating and cooling service manager in Wisconsin, sharing home heating tips, humidifying, other furnace issues, and your questions along the way. How often do you turn on your electric baseboards? Have you had issues heating your home? Do you work for a heating company? What advice can you give with what you've seen? Join in at 800-642-1234. Something to track in old furnaces on those annual service calls is carbon monoxide readings, and a reading that maybe that goes up at each service is an issue. How does your furnace leak carbon monoxide? How does that work?
So there's a few different ways. The heat exchanger obviously has natural gas and or propane or fuel oil going through it, so it has some kind of combustion going through there. And when metal gets hot, it expands and contracts and expands and contracts, and your furnace turns on a lot of times throughout the day. So it's just throughout the years of hard work trying to keep everybody warm. Sometimes what happens is that heat exchanger one gets plugged up with rust and things like that, and or it starts to crack. And the worst thing that could happen is if that heat exchanger cracks and you do have carbon monoxide leaking into your space. You really want to be careful. You want to make sure you have some carbon monoxide detectors and things like that, because you won't really smell it. All of a sudden, you'll just notice headaches and things like that, and you just won't feel well. So you really want to make sure you have those to protect yourself. So.
Are service technicians checking those levels when they do a service call on a furnace?
Yes. Even when we do a service call and or a tune-up, we run two devices just to make sure that we're amplifying that to make sure that there's no issues. We can check it one of two ways. We can check it in the house, which we use an air device for that. And we can check the exhaust of the furnace going outside, which we use a carbon monoxide meter to do that.
And so even if you have a carbon monoxide detector, just getting that furnace itself checked for carbon monoxide levels, that is something that you would recommend?
Yeah, carbon monoxide detectors are great, and they're really wonderful things in case of emergencies. But one thing a lot of people don't know is carbon monoxide detectors, they reset. So if you open the front door or if you open a window or something may happen where, let's say you walk by it and that carbon monoxide detector gets a gust of fresh air, it'll reset a timer inside of it that'll say, okay, well, that's fresh air, so I'm good to go on that. So unless it gets a constant reading of carbon monoxide, then what will happen is it won't go off. So you really want to make sure that gets checked out prior.
Alex Steinberger with us is with a Wisconsin company, offers HVAC services for homes and businesses. Have you had to replace your furnace or water heater in recent years? Were there problems or just old age? Do you have radiant heat? Does it go from blazing hot to teeth chattering cold with seemingly no comfortable middle? What strategy do you use to keep your heating bill in check? Join in on your heating issues, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Alex Steinberger here on the Ideas Network. We're discussing HVAC, all those home heating issues, as part of our Ask a Contractor series on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. There is a real risk that if your old furnace breaks down in the winter, it could take some time to get it working again. And as HVAC systems age, their performance may slip. What do you want to know about room temperature or air quality? Have you added an air filtration system? How is that working? Are you running a whole house humidifier or a furnace-mounted humidifier? What changes do you notice? 800-642-1234. Our heating and cooling expert is Alex Steinberger. He's a service manager for an HVAC company with us for the hour. Let's bring on Joan now in Superior. Hi, Joan. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm an energy assistance coordinator, actually in northern Minnesota. I live in Superior. But one of the other things to mention is for people to make sure that they actually have fuel in their tank. Mm. I get many calls where people think their furnace is non-functioning and they actually have no fuel.
And
I was going to say, and also to make sure that there's a path shoveled so the fuel deliverer can actually get to the tank.
Those are great suggestions, Joan. What would you like to say, Alex, about having fuel in the tank?
I definitely agree. Joan's definitely got a good point. We've already had two of those this year. And when we talk to customers about it, most of the time oil is in an older home where some people just don't want to make it to the basement or they can't or things like that. And they just don't know. And sometimes it's just as simple as that. It's just make sure that there's oil in the tank. And a path to the tank outside is always nice too for the guys filling it up. So,
how often should you check the tank?
Obviously, any time that the furnace isn't working, you definitely want to check that tank. But definitely, once it starts to get colder out, that oil really starts to pump through that furnace. So you definitely want to start checking that. I'd say about every week.
Okay.
And just take a look and just kind of see how fast you're burning through that. So that way you can preemptively schedule it, because sometimes those oil companies get really busy this time of year. So,
I bet. Joan, thank you. Appreciate you calling in. Let's go to Beth now in Grafton. Hi, Beth.
Hi, good morning. We live in an apartment, and we have a boiler system, and we do not pay for our heat per se, but I'm always wondering how does that work? Like, is it on our electric bill, or how does a boiler system work actually?
So this is a kind of a little tricky. So you don't have to pay for the heat because the landlord kind of takes care of it that way, right? But they have a centralized thermostat either in the hallway or somewhere centralized for everybody that way. And the boiler turns on, and it has what's called a loop to make sure that the hot water stays hot for the whole building. And if that loop ever gets cold, the boiler turns back on to heat you guys back up and make sure that everybody stays warm.
How common is it for an apartment building to have a boiler system and the tenants aren't paying for their individual heating and water heating and things like that?
It's very common. It's very common here. We see it in a couple of our buildings down in Milwaukee and things like that. They definitely have it, whether it's steam or water. It's just easier for the tenants and everything that way. So I think that's why it's kind of put off that way. So.
Mm-hmm. Beth, does that help?
Yes. And then I have another question about air quality. We do have smoking allowed in our building. Although we do not smoke, sometimes we do smell smoke from the upstairs tenant. Is there any kind of a system, in apartment system that we could buy that would actually help with that? What I've read is that there's not a whole lot that gets rid of that smell.
Oh, that's a great question. Beth, thank you. Alex.
Yeah, that is fantastic. And there is so many different home purifiers and things like that nowadays. And you can get some smaller standalone stuff for apartments or condos or individual rooms even. And there's so many different brands, so many different names, but they're standalone home purifiers. If you take a minute and look up air purification, you'll definitely find something online for that.
All right, Beth, thank you for those questions. Robert now in Merton. Hi, Robert. Go ahead.
Well, good morning, and thank you for having the program this morning. I have a home that's about 30 years old, had a new furnace put in about 8 years ago. But I still notice one of the rooms upstairs in the home is typically a little cooler in the winter. It has double-hung windows. There's new storms. The windows are in good shape. So I'm looking at, would you recommend I add a zone to that heating system that isn't zoned currently? Just looking at what kind of suggestions would you, how do you handle it when you're finding a room, let's say within a home that's not maintaining its temperature?
So you kind of answered that question perfectly. Zoning is definitely the way to go for that. When everything else in the house is heating properly and you have one issue, you obviously want to look at the windows and everything like that, but you have everything taken care of that way. So you might have, on an older home like that, you might have some manual dampers hidden somewhere. If you haven't seen those, you could maybe take a peek for those. Otherwise, I think you kind of nailed that one right in the head. And yeah, I think a zoning system would definitely help you that way.
And how do you go about installing a zoning system? What does that entail?
So what we have to do is just make a few incisions in the ductwork and just make sure that we can and add, obviously, a control board and everything that way to the side of it. And what happens is we can add a separate thermostat or a separate sensor in that room to say, hey, when this room gets a little bit colder, we want to turn this zone on to heat it up. It kind of works as like a, I know we talked a little bit last time about mini splits.
Yes.
And it kind of allows you to section off that house or that room and say, hey, for instance, let's say my daughter sleeps a little bit colder, so she wants it warmer in that room. But me and my wife, we sleep warmer, so we definitely want a little bit colder. You kind of have that luxury of hot, cold, where you would like it.
We're talking with Alex Steinberger, service manager for a heating and cooling company in Maguanago, and we have the HVAC expert as part of our Ask a Contractor series, fielding your questions about heating at 800-642-1234. Alex, speaking of duct work, we had a caller who wanted to remain anonymous, called and couldn't stay, and they live in an apartment that has propane heat, and they asked the landlord, when was the last time the ducts were cleaned? And the landlord said that they did not need to be cleaned. And the caller is wondering, how often should ducts be cleaned and who can clean them?
This is fantastic. We clean the ducts. We love cleaning ducts. It's definitely something that we've grown into the past year. And it's surprising to hear how many people don't know that it's how important it actually is. Cleaning the ducts should be done about every 3 to 5 years, depending on dander and pets and how many parties you throw for the new year and things like that. So it kind of depends on how many people are there. So,
what does that entail for like an apartment building? That would be a lot of duct work, I would imagine.
Yes. In an apartment building, they have propane heat, so chances are they most likely don't have a boiler system or something like that. So as long as you have duct work, we have a truck-mounted system, and we can roll the truck and connect to all the ductwork. As long as there's ductwork there, we can definitely handle it. Just depends on time frame. Obviously, us having the whole duct truck-mounted system, mm-hmm. we want to make sure that we're getting every duct, and it takes a little bit longer that way because the vacuum is so powerful. So,
let's bring on Marcus now in Milwaukee with a question. Hi, Marcus.
Hi. So I do remodeling and construction. I don't do HVAC, but I've seen the units where it's made by Mitsubishi. The Japanese have started putting these in where it does both heating and air conditioning for a room, and it usually goes above a window, mounts the outside. I was just wondering what your thoughts are about efficiency and so on and so forth.
Those are great units. We've installed some in the Madison area down by us. We've installed them kind of all over. It's kind of starting to become a I don't want to say a necessity, but it's starting to become a priority here in the United States here recently in the past few years because you can, yes, they're efficient and you can run them in the heating or the cooling season, but it's really nice to have individual comfort, kind of like I was talking about earlier, in the kitchen or wherever else you'd like it. If you're cooking, you obviously don't need the heat on that high and you can adjust it. Or if you're getting ready to have people over, you can turn the heat up or turn the cooling down or whatever you'd like that way. And they are nice. So,
and these are in the window. These are the units that you put in a window. Is that what I'm envisioning in my head? Like when we were as a kid, we you know, the air conditioner would come out of the closet and we put it in the window.
Similar.
Okay.
But we don't have to take up any window space. What he's saying is correct. What happens is there's a condenser outside, which is just your air conditioning unit outside.
Ah.
that can do either heating and cooling, whichever you decide.
Oh, I see.
Yep. And then what happens is you install an individual, it's called a head is what we call it. So it's called a mini split head, and we can put that head in each individual room or the room that you're trying to heat or cool. And they're very efficient, and they mostly run on just electricity. And not mostly, but that's all they run on. It's fantastic. So,
Alex Steinberger with us, service manager for an HVAC business in Maguanago, tackling your questions about heating issues. Do you run a gas or oil furnace? What issues have you come up on your unit? What did you do to repair it? Do you have radiant flooring heating? Is it worth the cost? What did it do to your tiles or flooring? Join in 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up with Alex Steinberger after a news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network. We're talking with the HVAC expert as part of our Ask a Contractor series on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're getting tips in the height of the winter heating months and when heating systems may go awry. Do you have issues with very dry air? Did you install a furnace humidifier to deal with cracked skin or asthma symptoms? How is your heating system working as the temps plummet? Join in 800-642-1234. We have Alex Steinberger, a service manager for an HVAC business in Maguanago, with us for the hour. Let's go to Joe now in Eau Claire. Hi, Joe. What's on your mind?
Hi there. Yeah, I just wanted to comment. There was a few callers ago that he had a cold room, and there's a lot simpler and more affordable solution that someone like that could use, is just cranking down your dampeners on, you know, the lower part of the home. I believe it was an upper room, and making sure that upper one's open, and then that furnace will cycle a little longer, but it'll maintain the same temperature below and get a little more heat going to the upper one. Same thing you could do in the summer if you have like a house with AC and it's not getting cold enough upstairs, just crank them downstairs, dampeners down a little bit on the registers.
Some strategy there on the registers. Joe, thank you for that. Alex, what is your tips there on how we should deal with what registers should be open partway, what should be closed, what should be fully open?
Yeah, Joe is correct on that. We can definitely do that as a simpler solution. It is a risk, though. It is a risk that you're taking to remove air from another room to put it somewhere else, and it'll definitely give that room on the upper floor more velocity, and it'll give you more heating or cooling depending on what you're asking for. But that means you have to take it from somewhere, which means that room could be a risk to either being too warm or too cold now itself. But I agree, for a very simpler and something like, hey, we're looking to get this fixed ourselves, kind of like a home remedy thing. You can definitely try that. I would recommend that.
Joe, thank you. Let's go to Lois now in River Falls. Hi, Lois.
Yes. The question I have is, I have a twin home that was built in 1985 and it has electric floorboard heat under each window. And the question is, number one, do they need some type of maintenance? And number two, can you put plastic hoods over them so they push the warm air into the room?
I've never seen plastic hoods on a radiator like that, on a electric baseboard. I've never seen a plastic hood on there. I have seen like a metal. There's like a piece of metal inside of some of those radiators where you can direct which way the heat goes. I would be careful putting plastic on there, just because last thing you want to do is see it melt or anything like that. But as far as getting them maintenance, we can definitely maintain them. You want to make sure that they're clean, so that way when you fire them up, they're not burning off any dust or anything like that. And we want to check the ohm resistance and the amp draws on that, just to make sure they're not burning out preemptively, because obviously you don't want to get too cold. So.
A concern that comes up is with radiators that are radiant heat and those radiators around the house that sometimes, you know, can make the rooms really hot or just frigid cold. But trying to maintain them at a level that is a middle ground and comfortable can sometimes be difficult. What might be going on there?
Typically what happens, so in this case, I think, so with the radiant heat for boiler systems, is a little bit different than electric heat.
Mm-hmm.
Electric just kind of you get it unless it's broken is what happens. So you get the heat unless it's one not getting, it's not getting the voltage to run, or the elements could be broken. But as far as a boiler system goes, whether it's radiant heat or whether it's baseboard or things like that, you really want to make sure that they're not airlocked. Throughout the years, throughout the season, what happens is you'll get some air that'll get stuck in the lines, and they'll start getting stuck inside of those radiant baseboards and inside of the radiators or the in-floor heat. And what will happen is then you'll have hot and cold spots. And as long as we come out there during maintenance and we bleed them, or you can preemptively bleed them at home yourself too if you feel comfortable doing that, and get all the air out of there, and that'll ensure obviously that it's getting hot instead of obviously being in the middle of some.
And when you say bleed them, can you kind of walk us through what that might be for a DIYer out there?
Yes, you just want to be careful. Obviously, there's going to be you're working on a boiler system, so we obviously would rather have a professional do it. But we have had some customers where it's called a bleeder key is what you need. And what you do is you on the top of the radiator, there's a little key up there. It looks like a square little tool goes in there, and all you do is you open that up. So lefty loosey, righty tighty, obviously, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then if you loosen that up, what will happen is you'll get some water to come out of that radiator. And you'll hear it kind of like spurting out of there, kind of like a hose, like if there's air in a hose, kind of the same situation. And you don't want to hear any air. You just want it to be a straight water stream. And as long as you have only water coming out of there, then you know you're in good shape. So,
Alex Steinberger with us, service manager for a heating and cooling company, with us for your heating issues, HVAC. Join in at 800-642-1234. Rana is with us from Cameron. Hi, Rana. What are you experiencing?
Hi, good morning. Good morning, Alex. I have probably not a real unique situation. We keep our thermostat at 68 at the highest, and I will notice that it's cold in the house, and I walk around with a flannel or a sweatshirt on or something, and I'll turn the heat up to 68 to warm the house up. And then I'll wait for a while, and I'll notice that the house isn't warming up. Well, what I'm now noticing is that my husband is hawkeyeing me, and when I turn it up, he goes and turns it down. So I'm wondering if Alex can offer any help with my husband or help us.
You want Alex to get in the middle of this. I see where you're going here, Rana. Alex,
I need some help.
Can you tiptoe around this? Can you offer some advice here?
Yeah, Ron, this is funny you bring this up. I'll try not to step on your husband too much. I actually had this conversation with my wife last night. Same thing. She let me know, hey, I turned the thermostat up to 70, and I was just like, okay, I might go turn that down a little bit. And she's kind of the same way. She definitely likes it a little warmer, but. There's a few different things you can do, and a great thing that we talked about earlier is humidification. And another great reason for that is because the easiest way to think about it is in the summer, you're hot because it's too humid outside, right? If we got rid of the humidity, you'd feel a lot cooler.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of the opposite in the winter. If you had more humidity, you'd feel warmer. So you can actually turn that thermostat down about 2 or 3 degrees roughly with the whole home humidifier and still feel the same. Like, so if you wanted it set at 60, if you wanted it set at 70, you could have it set to 68 or 67. And you might be tricking your husband to say, hey, the thermostat reads 67, but it feels like 70. So that's kind of one way around that. So.
Well, Rana, good luck with that. Thank you for calling in. Let's go to Jeff now, joining us from Barry Mills. Jeff, hi.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What's on your mind?
I have a question about a mobile home. I have a pellet stove in the living room in the central location in the house, and I'm trying to figure out a way to move air to, like, the back bedroom in the house. It has partial vaulted ceiling. I cut a duct or a hole in there and put a duct type booster fan to blow air into that room. But there's without a cold air return, I didn't have any success. And I was wondering if he had any suggestions to move air into the back room of the house.
And when you say this is a vaulted ceiling, how what size might this room be? What are we talking about?
Oh, my living room is probably about 16 by 16 with the kitchen right next to it.
Okay.
And the vaulted ceiling goes right to the back bedroom wall.
Mm-hmm.
And the temperature up there is like 76 degrees, but in the back room, it's only 65.
Wow, that's a difference. Jim, thank you. Alex, what's going on here?
So it sounds like he doesn't have a return in the room. So what happens is he can push air into it, but he can't pull it out. So it seems like that's the biggest issue. So it really sounds like he's kind of passed. I mean, it sounds like he was able to do quite a bit himself. So it's pretty impressive. But I think he might need some help from a contractor here getting a return from that furnace into that room. Because think about it this way. If you have a box with a straw in it and you're blowing into it, you can only fit so much air in there, right?
Hmm.
So you can't force something into there if it's not being drawn out. So you really want to get a return in there and make sure you pull that air out, and that'll help him get that air circulating in that room. I mean, a ceiling fan or like a box fan or a standalone fan would help kind of circulate it, but the best result and the best thing to do would just be to get a return in that room.
Get a return. Jeff, thank you for that. Jim now in Camp Douglas. Hi, Jim. What is your question?
Yeah, hello there. I've got two. First is, what is ideal humidity for the home during the course of the year? And then the second was, Freddie the furnace guy advised me to leave my furnace fan running all the time, even when the furnace isn't putting out any heat. Is that a good thing to do? So I will take those answers offline, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim. Alex.
Yeah, Jim, this is a question we get all the time. Humidity levels anywhere between 35 and 50% typically is where we want to shoot for. 35 in the low end, 50 on the high end, but you want to be careful going too high. You don't want to get any moisture or anything on the windowsills or anything like that on the front door or anything glass that you have. And the second question was with,
the furnace fan running continuously.
Yeah, so the furnace fan, I just started doing this when I moved into this house a few years ago, and it's a great way to keep consistent airflow throughout the whole house. And we do recommend leaving it on. It really does only cost pennies to keep that furnace fan running, especially on newer units. To keep that furnace fan running, it circulates throughout the whole house, and it really helps with distributing through the whole house. So
I think the natural question, though, is what about the wear and tear on that fan? Are there any parts that are heating up because that fan is running all the time?
So the only thing that's running when the fan is running, if the furnace is off and the air conditioner is off, is only the fan. The fan is just running. And as long as you have that maintained every year, we can clean that blower wheel so it's not causing a strain on that blower motor. If it needs to be oiled, if it can be oiled, we can definitely do that during that maintenance as well. Otherwise, those motors are they're meant to run, and it's just like a motor on your car. When you turn on your car, the motors just run. That's just what happens.
And one other follow-up here to Jim's question about ideal humidity, you say between 35 and 50%, but what about the summer months when it's really hard to keep those percentages?
In the summer months, you don't want nearly as much humidity in the summer months. I guess if I'm hearing the question correctly, in the summer you want to get rid of it. So you want to really, we have whole home dehumidifiers, and we have air, that's essentially your air conditioner is just a big dehumidifier for your house.
Mm-hmm.
And you just want to make sure that you're removing that humidity during the summer. During the winter, it's a little bit harder to keep that humidity inside the home. But that's where that whole home humidifier comes in. You want to make sure that it's sized for your house. You want to make sure that it's set for the right thing. You want to make sure you're doing the right thing for your windows and for the front door and for all the woodwork in the house. So you really have to play with it, and it takes about 2 full weeks you to, once we have one of those whole home unifiers installed, for you to say, okay, this is exactly where we want it, and there's no need to play with it anymore.
HVAC expert Alex Steinberger helping us with our heating system. Still time to talk about the issues with heating in your home, the furnace, the water heater. We haven't talked about wall insulation, carbon monoxide concerns, humidity levels, a big thread here. What issues are you encountering in keeping your space warm? 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. We're focused on HVAC and keeping heating systems working properly as part of our Ask a Contractor series on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Alex Steinberger, he's here, service manager with a Wisconsin-based company, with us for about 9 more minutes. Let's go to Carl in St. Germain. Carl has a question about smart thermostats, I understand. Go ahead.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I am a supporter of public radio, and you guys do an excellent job.
Thank you.
My question is, I have a hydronic system in my home, and it has 6 dumb thermostats, one for each of the zone valves, the zones. And I would like to have a central thermostat that each sensor in a room could report to, that I could also look at from my smartphone or from the computer. What company has one? The way this works, the thermostat sends a message to the zone valve, the pump that is. Mm-hmm. Simultaneously, that sends a message to the boiler to turn it on. When the thermostat is satisfied, it shuts down the zone valve, that shuts down the boiler. Who has a thermostat system that will work for me?
Carl, thank you. Alex.
So, Carl, this is fantastic. We definitely do. I can promise that. So it's something that we can provide. We have a thermostat that we can centralize and hook up to Wi-Fi and put in your living room, your bedroom, wherever you'd like it. And then all we'd have to do is put a zoning board downstairs for each one of your individual zones, and then put a sensor inside of each room where those are. It is a little complicated to wire that up and to do all of that. But Honeywell has some stuff for us that we can definitely get that resolved for you.
Carl, thank you. I have been perusing Wisconsin's Focus on Energy marketplace, where you can find lots of these smart thermostats. But I'm just wondering, what should we be looking for as consumers if we want to make the switch to a smart thermostat?
It's all personal preference. What you'd like. There's some square ones, there's round ones, there's all different shapes and sizes, and whatever you personally like. It's all a personal preference. And what I would really recommend is just doing a little bit of research. And the technicians have some knowledge and things like that if you guys have questions. But I would really just recommend some research, because different thermostats have different qualities. And I'd say any smart thermostat is definitely going to save you a bit of money, other than just an older on-off thermostat. So.
Okay, let's go to Dana now in Eau Claire. Hi, Dana. What would you like to ask?
Hi, thanks for having me on. I'm looking for a solution for, we're making a kind of a three-season room sun porch thing into a more of a part of our house. And it's got a slab for the flooring in there, and there's some outdoor carpet over it, but I was wondering if there's any other good solution for having a warmer or more friendly floor.
What is the situation with the insulation first? Do you know whether it's insulated?
Yeah, so it's got big windows, and mm-hmm. we're replacing those, and there's insulation in the ceiling and the walls.
Okay.
It's just a 2x4 frame.
All right. Alex, what would you suggest?
So I just have a question. Do you have a boiler in your home, or is it a furnace?
No, we have a natural gas furnace.
You have a natural gas furnace. So there's a few things that we can do for in-floor heat. You can install electric. You can install electric in-floor heat. And that'll definitely help keep the floors warm. Or you can run a few ducts from that furnace, as long as the furnace is big enough and it's adequate enough to heat that space. you can send some supply vents into that space to kind of keep it a little more warm. But if you're specifically mm-hmm. just looking for the floor and you don't have a boiler system, I would probably recommend electric heat inside the floor.
And what if Dana would want to run some heated flooring? What would you suggest there?
I'm sorry. I'm not understanding.
Well, heated flooring where, you know, it's under your tiles or under your actual flooring and you can turn it on and adjust it.
Yeah, definitely. Yep. So that's kind of what I was talking about with the electric in-floor heat. So you can
have
electric baseboard, which is actually on the side,
mm-hmm.
Kind of like we were talking about earlier. But you can also have in-floor, kind of like radiant, like what you're saying, in-floor radiant heat. But instead of it being a boiler system, you can have it be all electric. So you can have a thermostat on the wall, and it'll heat up the floors with electricity instead of hot water like a boiler would do that.
And I would imagine then you also have to pay attention to what flooring you're going to be putting down 100%. As well.
100%. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. You can put down you can put down tile, concrete, wood, whatever you'd like there. You just want to make sure that the temperature of that electric heat and or the boiler, depending on which way you decide to go, isn't too high. The biggest thing that ruins your floor or tile or concrete, whatever you have, is not the type of flooring and stuff that you have, but how hot you're allowing it to get.
Mm-hmm.
If you get anything too hot, you can break it. So,
Dana, thank you for that question. Kate now in Madison. Kate, hi.
Hi there. My question is about ionizers and how effective they are. I see them priced all over the place from very inexpensive, around $30, $40, all the way up to over $200. And I did go with the really cheap ones, where you just plug them in and it sends negative ions into the air and it helps manage dust, and especially in the winter when everything is closed up. Any opinions on ionizers?
Yes, definitely. Ionizers are the biggest thing that our duct truck talks about. It kind of goes back to that question that we had earlier about running your fan all the time. With that ionizer running, and if you keep that fan running with that ionizer, it'll be amazing how many particles and things like that you can actually pull out of your air.
Hmm.
And it really does help the home smell better. And when you look outside and you see little dust particles floating like in the sunlight and things like that through the window, that's when you know, hey, I don't want to see those. I don't want to breathe that in. And an ionizer will take care of that. So whether you got a cheap one or whether you got an expensive one, as long as you have one, it's great to hear that. So it's great to hear that you're trying to improve the air quality of your home. So,
well, Alex, thank you for joining us and fielding these questions.
No, thank you for having me again. It was a pleasure.
Alex Steinberger is service manager of Midwest Heating and Cooling, offering HVAC solutions and services for homes and businesses. Make sure you're back with us a week from today for more expert advice from our Ask a Contractor series. It's Home Repair 101. A remodeling instructor walks us through simple repairs and which tools to have on hand. Also, you can find out all the helpful advice from our home improvement series. Find past episodes at wpr.org/contractor. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.